The next case to be heard this morning is number 2015-759, Life Path Partners versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. The appellant in this case has waived the oral argument, so we will be hearing from counsel for the appellees in the case. Mr. Greenfield, whenever you're ready.
Good morning. My name is Mark Greenfield. May it please the court, my name is Mark Greenfield. I'm an assistant prosecuting attorney for Cuyahoga County, and here today representing the appellees, Cuyahoga County Board of Revision, and the fiscal officer. I'm with my colleague, David Seed. David Seed is representing the Lakewood City School District Board of Education. And for Mr. Seed and his client, I am going to reserve 2 minutes. This case today is about reading a statute and understanding the words in front of you. 5715.19 has but one deadline in it, March 31st of the ensuing tax year. The facts of this case, while not in dispute, I'll spend just a moment or two on them. The taxpayers they might have filed more than one complaint, but one of the complaints they filed was for tax year 2009. There was a decision by the Board of Revision. There was an appeal from the decision of the Board of Revision to the Board of Tax Appeals. The matter was settled. A stipulation was signed. It was submitted to the Board of Tax Appeals. And the Board of Tax Appeals, in November of 2012, issued a decision accepting the stipulation and ordering the value that was stipulated to. The appellant, whatever they may have been thinking at that point, did not file a tax complaint for tax year 2012. Again, they had 4.5 months to do that before the deadline, the March 31st, 2013 deadline. And 2012 is the first year of not only a new triennium in Cuyahoga County, but it's also a sexennial, first year of a sexennium. The taxpayer later filed a 2013 complaint, which is not an issue today, just mentioning it. So this court should affirm the decision that the BTA made and the BOR made, and I'm going to go through that. So what happens now is roughly 2 years pass from the time that the BTA accepts the stipulation. So it's now September, October 2014. The taxpayer's counsel writes a letter to the Board of Revision. The Board of Revision gets the letter. They want to challenge, the taxpayer does, tax year 2012. The Board of Revision, over the objection of the County Board of Revision's counsel, accepts the case for hearing and hears the matter both as to the valuation in dispute and as to the issue of jurisdiction itself, because there's a challenge to that jurisdiction. The Board of Revision determines that they, in fact, do not have jurisdiction of the case. The taxpayer had argued that they have what's called, under 5715.19d, continuing complaint jurisdiction. And they found, the Board of Revision did, that they did not have jurisdiction because two reasons. One is that it was untimely. They had a March 31st deadline to file a tax year 2012 complaint and didn't do so. Two,
did they find that the carryover didn't carry forward to the reappraisal year?
Oh, that when they didn't file, thank you, and the other side of that is that they could have filed. They didn't file. They had 2 year. They had a statutory deadline, and here there's not even potentially. They didn't the term. They didn't use the terms of art that I would use, or perhaps others would use, but they didn't. They could have filed, but didn't file a tax year 2012 complaint.
It would have been
a fresh complaint,
a jurisdictionally appropriate complaint, because it was a new triennial.
Correct. It would have been a jurisdictionally appropriate complaint, and they chose not to do that. So, the matter was appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals, and the Board of Tax Appeals affirmed the dismissal, correctly affirmed the dismissal, the same dismissal that we're asking this court to affirm. Affirmed the dismissal by the BOR on essentially the same reasons. They didn't use the same verbiage. They didn't quote the Board of Revision's decision and just attach it and say we affirm for these reasons. But they analyzed the statute. They didn't set any new barriers to jurisdiction. This is not a dismissal for failure to prosecute, as the appellant has argued. This is a dismissal because the complaint was untimely and or that there was no continuing complaint jurisdiction whatsoever. My colleague...
What the appellant filed in 2014...
They wrote a letter.
Right. It was not a complaint, at least in form.
Correct. It was not a complaint in form. It was not a complaint in form.
It was an attempt to invoke what they understood to be the
continuing jurisdiction. So let's talk about what the continuing complaint jurisdiction is about. In many years ago, many decades ago, the 5715-19D was amended. The statute was amended and D was amended at that time. And it's been amended a couple of times since. And I think I included in my brief the full current section 5715-19D. But the purpose of amending that is mentioned in the legislative history of the amendment, and that is included in my brief, was twofold. It just eliminated the necessity of filing year after year. And keep in mind, this is prior to the time where you were under 5715-19A, later prohibited from filing more than once in a triennium. So this is before that. So the taxpayer didn't have to have a tickler. I have to file again. And also, the Board of Revisions around the state didn't have to administer multiple, you know, and as the legislature deemed it unnecessary, that's why they made the revision, unnecessary filings, which then would have to be heard, or arguably would have to be heard, and then decisions would have to be rendered. The administrative, you can see the administrative nightmare. The other part of the other reason is discussed for the decision, for the change in the statute, is they didn't want taxpayers to get caught. They didn't want the taxpayers to be treated unfairly. Because if the years go by and they have not filed a tax complaint, in the interim, who says they can challenge that anymore? That's a whole new set of cases that we don't have to worry about because they've created this continuing complaint jurisdiction. But once the complaint has been determined and finally determined, as the statute was also amended to make sure it wasn't just the Board of Revision, it was the Board of Tax Appeals or any tribunal, then the complaint doesn't continue anymore. So when on this set of facts, where a complaint is finally determined in a tax year for which a fresh complaint could still be filed, as is the case here, then the taxpayer has a choice. At worst, it has a choice. And that is, it can ask for a continuing complaint, but has to do so by the deadline in the statute, the only deadline that's expressly stated in the statute, March 31st of the ensuing tax year, 4.5 months after the BTA made its decision and order accepting the party stipulation. Or it doesn't have to ask for a continuing complaint. It can file a fresh complaint. So the taxpayer has the same opportunity to file a tax complaint that any other taxpayer, including those who had never filed a complaint, would have. There's no basis for, nor has the appellant argued, that somebody who files a continuing complaint has the right to extend the deadline. Instead, they argue essentially that there is no deadline and that they could file that tax complaint at any time. So to the extent that parts of 5715.19 have to be harmonized, we've had cases from this honorable court, AERC, quoted in my brief, or cited in my brief, Cincinnati, one of the Cincinnati cases where you had the competing, not values, but competing sections where you had an issue of whether a complaint would carry forward the value into a new triennium when a fresh complaint was filed, and the court answered that question. So when we're looking to harmonize, we have to look to what was the intention in the enactment of the statute. And keep in mind here that the taxpayer, at the end of the day, is not being treated unfairly. A lot of tax laws, except for exemption, the taxpayer, if you're interpreting, gets, it's important to treat the taxpayer fairly. The taxpayer is definitely being treated fairly here. First, we have to have the entire statute needs to be effective. And the only way to do that is the manner in which the appellees have argued. You cannot have a complaint go on forever. There is a deadline in the statute. It needs to be followed. And again, as I've pointed out, a just and reasonable result. So the taxpayer has arguably, although my colleague and I don't completely agree on this point, has two, and he'll argue that in a moment, I think, he has two options. He can ask for the continuing complaint up until the deadline of March 31st. Again, on these facts, or don't worry about the continuing complaint, file a fresh complaint by March 31st, 2013.
Okay, a complaint is ordinarily filed to challenge the assessment. Let's say in year one, the assessment is issued. Let's say October 1st. Let's adopt that as the date of the assessment. That's okay. The duplicate and
right.
All of
that
stuff
that is, I
going
think,
on.
Yes.
And so then the statute says if you want to challenge that, file a complaint to challenge it by March 31st of the ensuing year, by year two.
Right. So that would be March 31st of the following year.
Exactly. So, and I guess what I'm getting at is, isn't there a distinction to be drawn between the continuing complaint, which if in 2012 you stipulate the value on March 1st of 2012, and then you want a continuing complaint, you're not really challenging yet the assessment for 2012 because it may not even be complete yet. So isn't there a distinction to be drawn between the complaint, which challenges the assessment for the current year, and a continuing complaint, which could be filed even before the assessment is complete?
Well, there's cases on that. The facts in this case don't take us down that road, because here the stipulation was, and the acceptance of the stipulation, the decision and order of the BTA, was in November of the year.
Okay.
Yes, I understand your point, and there's other cases finding their way to this court where decisions were made either in January of a year or in the spring after March 31st. And then it's a different discussion.
Okay.
Not necessarily a different conclusion, but a different discussion.
Should we allow Mr. Seed?
I'm not going to allow Mr. Seed to get up here. I urge the court respectfully to affirm the decision of the BTA. Thank you.
Mr. Seed.
Thank you. May it please the court. I am David Seed, attorney for Lakewood Board of Education. I just wanted to touch on two issues. One, when we negotiated the settlement of the tax year 2009 case, it was done in November. It was done. The BTA order was issued in November of 12. Settlement was negotiated prior to that time. It's unlikely that the parties knew the 2012 reappraisal value. Now, at that time, if there was a continuing complaint, I guess a party could put that into the stipulation. But if you don't know what the county's value is going to be, that would be foolhardy because you don't know what you're challenging. And I raise this example. Today is March 15th. Let's say there's a pending case from a tax year 2014. And a settlement is achieved a few weeks ago. And taxpayer or school board disagrees with the 2015 valuation. Well, they've known about that for a few months. Now they have a couple options. One, they can challenge the 2015 valuation by March 31st. Two, if they're negotiating a settlement, say in January or February or March of 2016, they could try to address that in the stipulation. Or three, if an order's been issued, let's say it's issued today by the BTA, they could request the county or board of revision to treat it as a continuing complaint. What we do not believe the law provides is a fail-safe, that if they fail to negotiate that value, the settlement for that year, they fail to file a complaint, that essentially they can come, as we believe happened in this case, they negotiated a 2009 settlement in 2012. They forgot to file a 2012 complaint. Later on, a 2013 complaint was filed, and a letter was sent to the County Board of Revision, and essentially using a letter to request that the board have jurisdiction over a complaint that they decided not to contest in a timely manner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seed. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.